A reading from the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we played Pictionary last week. Remember that? Say yeah. Man, it sounds weird on the podcast when y'all don't answer. Played Pictionary last week, a little bit of a form of it. This week I want to share something with you that's been in my head all week. It's a song about avoiding temptation. It's by a guy named Chris Rodriguez and a woman named Abby the Spoon Lady. So if you've never heard anyone play spoons, this will be a first for you. It's pretty neat. If you'd like to watch it, all you got to do is YouTube Abby the Spoon Lady. Search it on YouTube. You'll find her. It's mesmerizing to watch. But I'd like for you to listen to the movement in the song. Listen to the rhythm of it. Listen to the message. Mike? That was a good song? Yeah, I like that song. So here's some things that are going at. Everybody's had that experience. So somebody said, hey, we're going to go somewhere, and you get in the car, right? Everybody here been in a car. Everybody here been in a trip in a car. And have you not all seen a hitchhiker? You're going down the road, and there's a hitchhiker. And sometimes you see somebody pick one up, and in the back of your head, you think, how many movies do they have to make before people stop picking up hitchhikers? We're always tempted. Every last one of us, just like Jesus, is on a journey of some sort. When you leave here, you may be going home. You may be going to a pizza joint. You may be going here or there or everywhere. You might be going to get dinner. Who knows? But after that, you're going somewhere else. And Monday, you're going somewhere else. And Tuesday, you're going somewhere else. And if you're like one person in our congregation, you'll know what day of the week it is by which doctor you're seeing, he said. We're always going somewhere. We're always heading somewhere. And behind that is always going to be purpose. Purpose. Jesus had a purpose. Now, all of the things that the devil invites him to do, the end of them could have been good. For Jesus to make bread from the stones and feed himself when he was hungry would be good for Jesus' body, right? But it would derail Jesus from his mission, which is to show us the love of God by dying on the cross and suffering for us. If Jesus comforts himself in his hunger, what's the likelihood that he would go to the cross? To keep his mission, he told the devil, no. Likewise, when the devil took him and showed him all the kingdoms everywhere, Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, he said. Jesus' kingdom comes differently. It comes through the crucifixion and the resurrection and the creation of the church. It's not a kingdom of coercion and force, but a kingdom of love and invitation. And if Jesus heeds to the devil's invitation, to the devil's flagging him for a ride, he's off mission. And God can't be honored by what he's doing. Each of us is on some kind of journey somewhere. And the purpose of our life is to give honor and worship to God. I hear people say all the time, preacher, if I could just find my purpose, I could be happy. I got good news for you today. The purpose of your life is to honor your Creator. And if you get derailed from that, you will be miserable until the day you die. That's a period. That's a promise. You can take that to the bank, write it down on a card, put it in your wallet. That will be true. Over and over and over, the Bible warns us about idolatry. And what the devil would trick us into, what the devil would do is flag us down, Chris says, while we're on our drive, wherever we're going. Get in the car with us and convince us that life would be better if somebody else was driving. Your life will be better if you have this. Your life will be better if you have that. No, 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 no. We don't want to go there. We want to stop here. Well, I can remember being asked one time by a person in a CPE class, a clinical pastoral education, and you have to go in a hospital and do all this kind of stuff. And so, you Methodists still believe in a personal devil? And one of my colleagues said no. And I said, I do, because Jesus did. As far as I'm concerned, Jesus was the greatest theologian that ever lived, and Jesus believed in the accuser of men. Jesus believed that there was one who name means to divide. Diabolo means through and to cast, and is pushing something through us to divide us from God. His purpose is to divert our attention from being who we're supposed to be. To convince us that if we just had the desires of our flesh, the lusts of our heart, whatever it is that our heart wants, that we can be happy, when the truth is, happiness comes through holiness and serving God. Happiness comes when we stop wanting. And that's hard to hear. Because everything around us would convince us that we just had the security of a bigger army or the security or even of a wall. I've lived in Arizona, man. People climb the wall that's there all the time. Maybe if we build it higher or deeper, I don't know. But we got to do something. But we're tempted in that, aren't we? It's drugged to us. We're tempted to stake a claim and move somewhere and do something. When the bigger question might be, what might God be calling us to do in the lives of people who are hurting in other countries? Are there other ways to solve the problem? The devil would divert our attention into protecting just ourselves, to serving ourselves, to do it our way, just as he was tempting Jesus to do it a different way. All of these kingdoms I'll give you. Now, personally, I think if Jesus had claimed all of those kingdoms, it would have been a good thing because Jesus is a pretty good dude. But then he couldn't be the Christ. Then he couldn't be the risen Lord. Then he couldn't be the Lord of all creation. Then he couldn't have the power to change me. It's easy to let the devil flag us down. It's easy to let the devil convince us that there's something incomplete in our life, that we're not secure, that we're going to die any moment because of somebody else. And it's easy to forget the hope of resurrection that allows us to give ourselves for others. The hope that this life isn't all there is. The devil wants to flag you down while you're on your drive, divert your attention to something else, so that he can drive your life and lead you into whatever hell he can create for you. He was working on it in Jesus' life. If he was working on it in the life of the Son of God, what makes you think he won't work in it in yours? If the devil was brash enough to come to the Son of God and tempt him, how in the world would we think that the devil won't tempt us? It's kind of sobering to me. But I'm not so dumb as to say I've never been tempted, because I've been tempted and failed over and over and over again. It's the part of my story I don't want anybody reading. I know what it's like to let the devil in the car and later figure out that sucker's driving. And you want to jump out, but the doors are locked, and they only lock from the inside, from the other side. I've known what it's like to want to kick the window out and get out of that car. It's a bad, bad feeling. Likely some of you have been there too. All of a sudden you realize your life is just not going the direction it should be. It's easy to get into that place. Easy to forget what our purpose is. It's easy to forget what the Lord's promises are. It's easy to forget that the Son of God was tempted as in every single way that we are. We don't have to worship ourselves to be happy. I read in a book by a guy named Francis Chan this week that my Facebook page might be my own personal shrine of idolatry, and I suddenly felt bad, and I'm not sure if I should go back on it. Because don't we like to post things that people will like and tell us how awesome we are? I put a really big fish on there last week, by the way. And it's troubling to see, troubling to think how easy it is for us to get distracted as we travel this road of life headed toward the kingdom of our Creator and our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. It's so easy to get distracted by the dude on the side of the road that wants to destroy our lives. So easy. But there are promises for us. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul told us that there won't ever be a temptation allowed to come to us that God won't also provide a way out. Isn't that good news? But you got to be willing to look for it. You got a desire to be heading where God wants you to go. You ever sat down in a movie theater and not looked for the exit door? If you've ever been a movie theater fire, after that, the first thing you will do is look for the exit door. If you've ever been caught up in sin, if you've ever found your life flagged down by the devil and looked over and saw he was driving, dear ones, know this. When you find yourselves in temptation, you can look for the exit way. There is one. And sometimes it will be by going to a trusted Christian friend and say, I'm being tempted and I need help. I need someone to hold me accountable. I need someone to know what I'm going through. James told us that when we're tempted, we shouldn't say, God is tempting me, because God does not tempt us with evil, because God is not evil. Listen to these words. Each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. How true is that? But I want it. I deserve it. I worked hard for this. This will make me feel good about me. Those are the warning signs. When we find ourselves about doing something, thinking about doing something because we believe it will be good for us and only us. That's a warning sign, James says. And he says that desire, when it's conceived, when it fully gets in your head, it gives birth to sin, which means doing something God doesn't want us to do. And when sin is fully grown, it brings death. So it says, do not be deceived. You ever heard somebody say, well, if it's what your heart wants, you should do it? If you're ever thinking about doing something and somebody's advice to you is to follow your heart, that's a good indication you should say no. Rather than thinking about following our own hearts, we should say, what would be the heart of Jesus in this matter? What would be the heart of God in this? What would God desire that I do? The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus became like us in every respect, taking on our flesh, and that he himself was tested and suffered so that he can give peace to us when we are suffering and tested. And in the greeting we quoted, Hebrews 4, it says, since we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold to our confession. Right? Don't look at the guy on the side of the road. Keep your eyes on where you're going. Keep your eyes on where you're going. Don't get flagged down. It says, we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tested in every respect as we are. Jesus was tempted just like we are. That's the hope we can gain from this text. And yet he was without sin. Doesn't mean that we can attain the same thing. It means that he will understand when we are tempted and we can turn to him and seek grace in our time of need. You are traveling a road. When you leave here, you go into your life into something other than a sanctuary of the people of God. We all go out there and we think we're out there by ourselves, and so we get convinced that we can just do things however we want to do them, and we'll come back here and pretend like we belong here and everything's okay. But the truth is something completely different. The truth is we're all in this bus together. And if we stop and let the devil in, we're not the only one hurt. Whatever temptations we give in to affect the whole body of Christ. So James gives us this advice. He said, essentially, don't submit to your own desires. Submit instead to God. Resist the devil. And get this, the devil will flee from you. So take Chris Rodriguez's advice. Don't let him flag you down. Don't let him in the car. Don't give him your hand. Keep driving. Keep your eyes focused on where you're going. Keep your heart focused on Christ. Keep your thoughts focused on Christ. And when you find yourself in those situations where you just don't think you can make it through, call somebody. that you can trust to share that burden. Because Peter said that the devil is like a roaring lion. A roaring lion prowling around seeking someone to devour. We will be tempted. But whether or not we let the devil in the car is up to us. We can say no. Many years ago, I'm going to leave you something funny that's not quite as boring as everything I've said so far. Many years ago, 30 of them to be exact, Bobby's grandfather said something in the pulpit that I've never forgotten. I can't remember any of the points of the sermons, but I remember this story. And it wasn't a joke. It was a real story as he told it. He said, I was sitting, and I'm talking about Jerry Phillips. Some of y'all know him. I was sitting on the porch with one of my parishioners, and he said, you know, Jerry, I never feel tempted by the devil. And Jerry said, I looked at him and said, maybe he's already got you. Dear ones, we all leave here on a journey that looks individual, but it's not. We're all in this together. And if we'll hold on to that and trust each other and share our burdens and our hopes and even our disappointments and our hurts and those places where we feel tempted, we can honor Christ together by how we live, not just together, but in the midst of the rest of the world as individuals. But it simply requires not letting Him flag us down. So I hope that as you go through this week, that song will eat in your brain. Don't let the devil drive. It's a bad idea, I promise. Hang on to it. Temptation will come. And it'll look like something good. It'll look like something beautiful. It'll look like something you deserve. Because the devil doesn't tempt us with death. He just gives it to us. But Christ offers us life. Hold on to His promise and ignore the dude on the side of the road. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You would leave with us today and in the week ahead that You would guard our hearts against temptations, that You would help us to see them for what they are, distractions from life, that You would help us to see the snares that the enemy would lay for us and understand that things that look good for us may not be good for us. Give us sober judgment so that we might serve You in all things. And help us, Lord, to surrender our whole life so that we won't be fueled by what we want, but by what You want. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We're going to